This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Jill and Josh Stanton, who are living their dream by living and working when and where they want. Welcome to the show, Jill and Josh.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome to be here, man.
Yeah, it was great finding out about you guys and what your mission is, apparently.
The mission is to screw the 9-to-5. That's pretty much the whole mission.
Pretty much just to screw the man and live the life you want to live.
That could be misconstrued.
It wasn't, though. Everybody knows what I meant.
So let's get started by giving some background about yourselves.
Yeah, sure. So we've been working together now about like 2.5 years or so. But Josh has been working online for, I don't know what, like 6 years, 7 years maybe?
Feels like longer, but yeah, about 6 years.
So essentially what was happening was I had a social media for restaurants business, and I was watching Josh like work whenever he wanted, however long he wanted, from anywhere he wanted, like taking days upon days off if he wanted. And I was just like, I want that. Because I was trading dollars for hours and getting real sick of it real fast. And it was just one day we were sitting on our patio back in Toronto. And we were like, why are we not just doing a site ourselves together? And that was pretty much it. Like you sort of brought me under your wing.
I brought you under my wing. It didn't really happen like that, but it was more like a forced wing approach.
A chokehold.
Yeah. So as Jill said, you know, I got started a while ago and I got into lots of things with online marketing, including software and whatnot. Eventually, me and my business partner went separate ways. And at that point, Jill and I were engaged and we're like, why don't we just work together? Because it's so much more convenient. I want to travel. You want to travel. It's going to open up that opportunity for us to live and work wherever we want, whenever we want. So we just did it. We got started building small websites and making money initially doing that.
Wow. I mean, and that's awesome that you guys were able to turn a profit right away to be able to just start doing that.
Oh, well, it definitely wasn't right away. It was like we got started with affiliate marketing, but it definitely took a few months to figure it all out and really start generating the kind of money you need to be able to live full time off that. So
yeah,
it definitely wasn't right away. And I ugly cried a whole lot.
Yeah. So I guess what we went through is quite similar to what a lot of people go through in the first couple of years of their business, whether it's online or offline, is that you're pretty much in a learning period where you just have to keep learning and you just have to keep failing. And eventually you start to, you know, get the ball rolling a little bit, start to get some momentum going. And then before you know it, all of a sudden you're making a full-time living out of doing this. And you're pretty much living the lifestyle that you set out to achieve when you first got started. So yeah, that's kind of like our background. That's, you know, 2 years ago. Pretty much to the day now, like we're getting to that point.
Well, we started like January 2012, but we started the screw in April last year. So that's gone a lot faster than affiliate marketing did. But yeah, so that's pretty much the Coles notes.
So what does your dream mean to you?
Well, for me, I'm just going to talk over you, okay?
You do it anyway.
For me, it's just being able to work wherever we want from anywhere we want. And the fact that I get to build this like business and lifestyle of my dreams alongside my husband, like to me, that's my dream come true. Now say something exactly identical that makes me sound lovely too.
I don't know. You put me on the spot there. So as far as a dream goes for me, we're pretty much living that dream right now. You know, and I think it's kind of an evolving thing as well. You know, once you reach a certain point in your business and you're like, okay, next, what do I want to do? And you think of a new dream, you think of a new goal and you work towards that. So, you know, for us in the next couple of years, we really want to focus on building up Screw the 9-to-5 and generating like a big audience like around us that we can help those people as well get out of, you know, their jobs and maybe go after their dream as well.
Yeah.
As a side question, are you concerned that if everybody just left their 9-to-5 that you wouldn't be able to live your 9-to-5 because there wouldn't be anybody at the store to when you need to go buy stuff or anything to that effect?
I'm not actually. So everybody is still a consumer. I'm still a consumer. Everybody is still going to do that. Plus, at the same time, we're not trying to appeal to everybody. We're just trying to appeal to the people who aren't happy in their jobs. So there are many people out there who do like what they do and they love their lives. And by all means, they should continue on enjoying that, doing what they do. It's just pretty much for the people who are lost. You know, it was kind of like us when I first left school. I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. And I tried a whole bunch of things and I realized like that I just couldn't live that 9-to-5 lifestyle. And there are a lot of people out there and we're meeting them, you know, every day we meet someone new or we hear from someone new who is pretty much in the exact same boat as what we were in.
And I think it's important to note that not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Like, not everyone has the stomach for it. So no, we're definitely not worried about that.
It was mostly like a joke. Joking. Type question.
Yeah.
It was a very hypothetical.
And we answered it seriously. Damn.
Damn it.
What would you say inspires each of you?
I get super jazzed by the Screw. Like, that's one thing that I'm so excited to wake up to each and every day. The sort of the community we're building, that's what gets me so incredibly excited to put in the amount of hours that we tend to put in. That's, for me, that's what inspires me. Well, and obviously sunsets.
Yes, there's definitely inspiration there. We're actually very lucky because there's two of us in this business. Jill is super passionate about building a community around Screw the 9-to-5. And she's so good at dealing with people with our community. And she loves that. She's a real people person. Me, on the other hand, I like people. I think people are great. No, I love people.
Time.
But I'm also very passionate about learning other skill sets with online business as well. I'm very passionate about building businesses. So for me, that's kind of my inspiration, is to get better and better at building lots of different types of businesses.
So the situation we have is we're lucky because Josh builds the businesses in the background that we then teach with the Screw. So he runs all of that stuff and I just run the Screw. So it's a good like division of labor. So it really works for us.
So how exactly did Screw the 9-to-5 come about?
That actually started on our wedding week, which is probably the one week you're not supposed to be working. But we had the idea for it while sitting on our balcony drinking wine in Costa Rica. And we registered the domain ASAP and just started, you know, plotting what it was going to be and how and who we were going to talk to and what it was, you know, all the big plans that you have when you're like, oh my God, I think I just came up with the best idea ever. And
So the goal initially was we pretty much just wanted to create this site so we could connect with as many people as we could in the online entrepreneurial space, because you may know this already, it is quite a lonely venture to be an online entrepreneur. It's very difficult to connect with a lot of people. So that was the main reason why we started Screw the 9-to-5. We didn't even believe that it was going to get to the point that it's at today. So we're just thrilled with it, basically.
Yeah.
So how was all that received by your family members?
Oh, they're used to our wacky ideas by now. I haven't, like, my parents, I think my entire 20s, they tried to push me to get a 9-to-5 job. And I was just like, nope, I will never have one of those. So they were used to me testing out different things, failing, trying again. And they're probably just stoked that this one actually worked.
Yeah. So, I mean, my family, well, they're very supportive now. When I first got started, I mean, I was 20 years old when I first started looking into this. And it was actually my dad said to me, I was actually studying engineering at the time and I was getting home super late because I was having to commute, you know, 4 hours a day to get to university and home. And he said to me, Josh, are you happy with what you're doing? Do you want to be an engineer? And it was the first time I sort of thought to myself, no, I don't. I don't want to do this at all. So he said to me, well, why don't you just not do it and figure something else out? So I'm very lucky that I've had such a supportive family over the years. And I know a lot of people aren't in the same kind of boat as us, but eventually we know from a lot of people, speaking to a lot of people, eventually your family will come around, your friends will come around and understand, you know, what it is that you're trying to do in your life.
Was your dad always like that, supportive, no matter what you wanted to do?
You know, he was a pretty hard-nosed Aussie guy, you know. you know, he worked three jobs. He put, you know, him and my mum, you know, worked full-time for 30 years and put five kids through a private school. So they worked really hard, very hard workers, and they pretty much just wanted the best for their kids. I mean, that's what they did. They sacrificed pretty much their lives so they could, you know, make sure that we were able to be successful.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
Absolutely.
So what steps did you take to get started with Skrew?
Well, the first thing was we registered the domain ASAP, and then we sort of left it for about 3 months or so, eh? Like, around that time, obviously, we were getting married. So then there was that. And then about 3 weeks after we got married, we moved over to Thailand. So then there was that. And in that time, we were really just writing content and sort of trying to build up a bank of posts because we were already managing a whole bunch of affiliate sites. Like, we have over 30 of those. So we didn't have all those back then, but it's still, we had consistent work that we had to keep up with. So to start a whole new site was very intimidating at that point. So we really wanted to have a bank of content that we could, you know, release, sort of drip out to our Facebook friends and all that sort of stuff. And we started guest posting heaps and started trying to do interviews. And then we moved on to videos. And once we sort of moved on to videos, things started to really pick up. I started upping my guest posting. Guest posting is the best way to build a personal brand, I think, outside of interviews. And then we tried to launch our first product. It failed. So then we realized that, you know, we were positioning the Skrew all wrong. We had sort of lost our direction with it. So we made the choice to rebrand it, refocus it, and really niche down to teaching what we knew at that point. Because up until that point, we were really just staying quite general. We were just talking about online business in general, and it was just sort of flatlining. So once we started to refocus and really niche down and teach affiliate marketing, that's when everything changed and the whole site just really started to take off. And so we just finished our affiliate marketing series. We're now moving into doing a whole bunch of live webinars for it. And we've just recently kicked off a series that teach people how to market and monetize and build their personal brands. So we're sort of creating Skrew into kind of a hub where you can come and choose how you want to screw the 9-to-5. So it has the different monetization models associated with it. Now
that,
you can
that
go.
Was a, now ex, you can that was go. An extremely long-winded
Well, I was just trying to be thorough. I was
how we got started with Skrew the 9-to-5.
I was trying to be thorough. It's all about value here, Joshua.
I don't think I can say anything more.
Yeah, so stop.
It was so the hard part with getting started with a personal brand at all, I mean, not even just with the online marketing space, but in general, is that you need to make connections. Like, building relationship is like one of the best things. That's why I think podcasting is such an amazing avenue for new personal brands now, because you can do things like this. You can have interviews with people who are maybe doing stuff that, you know, already have an audience who are quite similar to yours, and you can build that relationship with them and also with their audience as well. So if there's anyone, you know, looking to get started with a personal brand like Skrew the 9-to-5 or anything that they're thinking of, then yeah, something like podcasting would be perfect. Or as Jill said, guest posting is also amazing.
So my next question is, why Thailand?
Well, one, it's paradise.
Why not?
Yeah. But in all seriousness, it, as weird as this sounds, it is a massive hub for online entrepreneurs. Now, that sounds crazy, but Thailand, and same with Vietnam, and somewhat the same with Bali. These are all little hubs in Southeast Asia that a ton of online entrepreneurs sort of flock there, because not only is it cheap to live there, so they can reinvest in their business so much easier than they could living back in the Western world, but there's a huge community of people doing what they do. We all speak the same kind of language. We all want to talk shop and talk business. And when you're back home and surrounded by 9-to-5ers, you can't really get that sort of energy or the same level of conversation. So you sort of feel like, I don't know, just like disenchanted with what you're doing when you're not around other people who, you know, have the same sort of mindset as you.
Yeah, I mean, the other obvious factor is the cost of living over there. So when you're first getting started, you're kind of in that bootstrap mode with your business, and you may not be earning a lot of money, but you need to save money so you can reinvest it back in to help grow it. So living over in Thailand is, I mean, there's a lot of people who live over there comfortably off like $1,000 a month. You know, I don't recommend that you go and do that because, you know,
you'll be living quite poorly.
You'll be living quite poorly. But you can do it if you really need to. And what's great about that is, you know, let's say you're really serious about growing your business online. And the best way of really growing it is to actually, you know, quit your 9-to-5 and focus on it full time. By moving over to any country in Southeast Asia where there's a lot of entrepreneurs living over there anyway, you then have the opportunity to, off minimal income, to work full time on your business straight away. So that's pretty much like those two things are the main benefits of moving over to a country like Thailand.
We will say though that you probably shouldn't just up and quit your job. You always should like replace your income or at least have a good buffer. So
for
you
sure.
Don't like, so you're not putting everything on this business that you don't even know how it's going to work or, you know, what the plan is with it. So
yeah,
be prepared.
That's something that we recommend, that people have at least some income coming in at the start. A lot of people sort of up and quit when they have a bit of a nest egg, which is, it's a good idea to have a nest egg, but it's also really important that you're at least earning some income before you decide to up and quit straight away.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because you got a great idea doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get it off on the first take and make it perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let alone have it be $1 million idea.
Yeah. Well, Jesus.
So what roadblocks did you guys hit along the way?
Oh my God. Tons.
I mean, roadblocks.
More like challenges, like
it's
obstacles,
funny how,
sort of.
Yeah. I mean, when you first go through a roadblock, it is like a roadblock. You're like, whoa, what is this? I can't go any further. But eventually you realize that these roadblocks are actually the things that are preventing you from getting to the point where you need to go. So you pretty much just got to push through them. I mean, when we started with our stuff, we were focusing on getting traffic through Google, right? So we're ranking on page one of Google to get traffic. So Google comes out with updates quite consistently now. So every time an update would occur, we might get hit on the search engine. So we might lose a bunch of traffic to our sites. And we're like, oh my God. We lost 30% of our traffic. We're going to lose 30% of our income. This sucks. But you then have to push through that and just keep going, keep building. And then eventually things, you know, will end up being okay.
And I think the one thing about these roadblocks or obstacles is, and we always say this, like once you've faced a few of them, you can see them coming from a mile away and they're not as scary. You know, they don't take you down as many notches as they do initially when you first start dealing with them, because when you're first starting out, everything is new. It's emotional. It's a roller coaster. It's full of highs and lows. But as you get a bit more seasoned, you put in a few years, you start to realize that when these, you know, obstacles pop up, you're like, ah, I know what this is. I know who you are. I've seen you before. I ain't afraid. And then you just like figure out, you know, how to overcome this and how to get to the next level, because they're crucial for your development and your growth. You just have to figure out how to deal with them.
Exactly. I mean, if you go through any kind of roadblock with any kind of business, you realize that if you can get through that and, you know, by going through that, you have to like force yourself to learn a whole bunch of new things, learn a whole bunch of new skills. And by doing that, you've got those skills for life. So when a roadblock like that comes up in the future, it's no longer a roadblock because you know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite memory you could share?
Maybe over the last couple of years?
Yeah.
What would be your favorite memory?
Actually, I would, as crazy as, well, our first live webinar last night was one of the best feelings I've ever had in our business. It was such a cool feeling. It was so high adrenaline and the feedback we got was amazing. So that would definitely be right up there. But as crazy as this sounds, I mean, it's not a happy memory, but it turned out to be the best thing ever for us, was when our product failed miserably and we were faced with this decision, like, what do we do right now? Do we keep going and doing what we're doing, or do we pivot and change everything? And that one moment, that one day, November 19th, I remember it, it changed everything. It brought us to where we are today, and I'm so grateful for it. It will always stand out in my mind as that one, you know, critical moment that changed everything for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have another one too. When we first left Toronto back in 2013, at the start of 2013, when we left there, I remember it was like the middle of winter, it's freezing cold in Canada, and we're at the airport, we had our backpacks with us, we'd gotten rid of all our stuff, we literally, we closed the doors on our
storage unit.
Yeah. There was nothing in there anymore. You know, we just had us and our backpacks and we're walking.
We're like, freedom!
Towards our gate in the airport. That, to me, that was a very, it was one of those moments that stands out for sure.
Yours is a very like emotional one and mine is all about money. What does that mean?
Gold digger.
Well, it seems like you got a pretty good balance between the two of you. Well, what was the product that failed, if you don't mind me asking?
No worries. It was a guest blogging product. So I don't want to say it failed miserably. It still made sales. It just, it didn't do what we were hoping it would do. But we've worked it into our funnel, so it's actually been quite good. It's been a useful one.
The product itself is like quite amazing, actually. And no one's really done
a product. If you do say so yourself.
On guest blogging before. It's just we didn't know what to do. Our marketing skills weren't great at that time. So as a result of going through that, it's kind of what we talked about before with the roadblocks, we were forced to learn a lot more, you know. And if Jill said this a couple of times, if it had have made like, you know, a bunch of sales, we probably wouldn't have felt that way. And we probably wouldn't have wanted to learn as much and grow as much as what we ended up doing.
We would have just continued doing what we were doing and eventually it would have flatlined and probably died. But because that didn't happen, it forced us to be like, what the hell do we do now? So it was, yeah, like I said, a crucial moment.
Well, you know, I'm a big Walt Disney fan and, you know, he says it's good to have a good hard failure at, you know, at a young age.
Oh, I like that.
And he definitely did have his share of failures. I mean, I would say that they're not failures. Just like yours wasn't a failure. It's just a lesson, and you ultimately create a product that you're just going to use later anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out yet?
No. As weird as that sounds, like, I mean, they haven't come to fruition yet because we're still working on them. But it's not like they haven't worked out. Like, for example, I want to buy a second condo. in somewhere like San Diego or Vancouver, but that just hasn't happened yet because I don't want to have a mortgage and I'd rather just buy it outright and we don't have the money for that yet. So those are little things that like they haven't worked out yet, but that's not because they're not going to, just because we haven't got to that stage yet. So
yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't even know what you pretty much said it there. So you just have to keep pushing and, you know, eventually your dreams do come true. The funny thing is that they tend to happen when you think it's all over.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in your lowest point, you're like, oh my God, this sucks. What am I doing? What have I been doing for the last 2 years? It's ridiculous. Have I been doing all this so I can feel this way? And all of a sudden something happens.
And you're like, this is the greatest business ever.
And it's like the universe just playing a joke on you or something.
No, it's just testing you.
It's just testing. It's just a test that you have to get through in order to reach that point. I mean, dreams weren't meant to be easy, right? So, you know, you gotta put in the hard work first.
Yeah. And we're big dreamers, so it might take a while for some of those to come true.
Well, I mean, let's what do your dreams for the future look like?
Oh man. Should I list all of them off?
you probably do that, yeah, absolutely.
Well, for me personally, like I really wanna launch a branding product, so teaching people how to build a personal brand that they absolutely love, doing what they love. And I want to make that sort of a membership site. I really want to do more live webinars. I really want to do a sort of mastermind retreat for couples. And I want to place somewhere in Europe and somewhere in the west coast of North America, and then our Thai condo. So, and maybe a puppy along the way.
And then I don't know. A condo on the moon would be nice. So.
Dream big.
So that probably wraps it up for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much have the same dreams. We talk about that a lot. One of our favorite things to do is just take the weekend off every now and then and just go lie on a beach or just do something.
I love
that
you said every now and then, because
it is every now and then.
In actuality, we actually love working weekends. So as weird as that sounds, some weekends, we absolutely love taking off, but most weekends we like working.
Anyway, the weekends that we don't work, so once a year, we tend to, sort of go away, just two of us, and just dream, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you think of things that are so unrealistic and you look at yourself in your present moment and you're like, there's no way I would ever be that kind of person that could be living that kind of life. It still just feels nice to dream like that, you know. And I think that feeling is the important thing that you want to try and keep, you know, and instead of like being, you know, logical about and being like, well, this is where I am now and it's very unlikely that I could ever get to that point. To just forget about that and just enjoy the feeling and enjoy that as much as possible.
Put it out there. See what happens.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I mean, I guess I would just say for anyone who's trying to chase a dream, you just have to take baby steps, like baby step your way to your dreams. That would be my biggest piece of advice, because that's all we've done. And slowly the momentum builds and you realize, you know, you look around at one point and you're like, holy shit, I did it, you know, and that is such a rad feeling. So baby step your way there. Don't give up. Push through those moments where most people would give up and you have no choice but to be successful.
Mine is to just get started. I mean, a lot of people talk and talk and talk about wanting to do something. And then when it comes time to the fact that you got to actually get started and actually try and do something, you know, that's where they hit that barrier. You just need to start. It doesn't matter if you do the smallest thing, just get started. Because once you get started, you get that momentum going. And then also to remember that we're only going to be alive once. Unless you believe in reincarnation, we're only going to be alive once. You got one shot. You don't get another shot. You only get one chance at whatever life you want to live. So why not go for something big? I mean, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? You could end up in your parents' basement for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that is probably one of the worst things.
So would you like to share your websites and your Facebooks and your Twitters?
Yeah, I guess the easiest way to get a hold of us would be to hit up screwthe9to5.com. So that's all spelt out, no numbers. Or hit us up on Facebook. It's facebook.com/saynoto9to5. And then Josh's Twitter is screw9to5. So that's really confusing. And then mine, which is even more confusing because my last name's Stanton now, but it was Clark, is Clark_Jill.
I think a lot of people had the idea.
You know what?
Of screwing...
Just hit us up on Facebook.
I think a lot of people had the idea of screwing the 9to5 on Twitter, obviously.
Yeah.
It was quite difficult to get our handle.
Yeah. Just hit us up on Facebook or on screwthe9to5.com and we'll sort it out from there. Jeez, let's not make this difficult for you.
Well, they'll all be in the show notes. Well, thank you for both coming on the show. I really appreciate it, especially on such short notice.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter @DreamersPodcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.